is Dan Olson Bang, and you're listening to Syracuse University GradCast. Today, I am joined by Mary Idzior of the Center for International Services at Syracuse University. Every year, the international students are coming to campus at the very beginning or over the summer, and I know that international students have a lot of questions. And so I wanted to bring Mary onto the show so that she could talk a little bit about things that either get missed or that would be best for an international grad student to know. So thanks for being here, Mary.
You're welcome, Dan. Nice to see you again. Nice to hear your voice again, Dan.
All right. So I asked Mary to come on and give a top 10 tips for using the Center for International Services office. And so, Mary, what's your first or I guess the 10th tip that you would provide to students about how to use CIS?
Well, our office, you know, it is an office building for most practical purposes. You know, we're open from 8:30 to 5, or in the summer, they let us come in a little early and leave a little early when we're open from 8 to 4:30. But we would really like to encourage students to use our advisor on-call hours, Monday to Friday, 11 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. If students have questions, they can come in and they can see somebody. They can come in before and they can come in after, but you know, we reserve those times for other things we have to get done. But students can walk in, and I would say within 10 minutes, they're going to see somebody and be able to ask their question and get an immediate answer. So please use our advisor on call hours. And you might ask, why 11 to 3? Well, over time, we've realized that those are the hours that are most accessible for students. Before 11, a lot of them aren't up yet. That's probably the graduate students. And after 3, they're all in class. So, you know, we will monitor that. If we notice, any discrepancies in usage, we will change it. But that's what they are now, Monday to Friday, 11 to 3.
Great. I know that beyond the show up for these on-call hours, you also have other ways of communicating. So what is your ninth tip?
We encourage students to use our general office email address. I don't think we could make it any easier. It's international@syr.edu. So we know students come up with questions all times of the day and particularly night. And if they don't ask the question at that moment, they might not get it asked. So send an email to international@syr.edu. The email is monitored, during the day. They come in, they're distributed to the advisors. There are 4 or 5 of us who answer all the questions that we get. The only thing is that sometimes students will send an email on Friday night at 9 p.m. and then Monday morning at 8:30, they're calling and saying, oh, but I sent an email. And I haven't gotten an answer yet. So we just ask for some time. We do need a little bit of time to read and respond to the emails. But it is monitored and you'll get an answer. If it is a true emergency, and particularly if it's on a weekend or at night, sending an email to that address won't get an emergency response. If it's a real emergency, we suggest students, contact DPS, the Department of Public Safety. And the Department of Public Safety knows how to get in touch with people in our office, so we could respond if that was appropriate.
Great. Beyond, using this email and understanding the hours, what is some kind of etiquette around that? I think this might be leading to your next tip.
Well, it's best practice to either email or call or come in. I can't tell you how many times we have a student at our front door with their hand on the doorknob, on their phone, saying to us, I just sent an email and I didn't get an answer. Students don't have to do all three. I know sometimes, when things are important to people, they want to cover all bases, right? We will get back to you, but you just have to give us a little bit of time. It's not necessary to call, email, and come in. Pick one. Give us a little time. We will respond.
Okay. All right. Now, in a sense, I think it's obvious that, you know, there are several of you. Should people contact multiple people in your office, or how does that work?
Well, when emails come into the office, they're divided on a, first in, first out basis, and it's like a rotation. Same thing like all requests that come into our office. Students will submit a request, and it's called a round robin. We just have a list of people who deal with those things, and it goes to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But if you have a situation, that's not a simple question and an answer, but a complicated situation, something that you're working through, we would appreciate it if you would stick with one advisor. It's a waste of your time to have to keep describing your situation over and over to other advisors if you see someone else. And it kind of, I don't want to say wastes our time, but it's a duplication of our efforts if we have to sit and listen to the situation again. So if you have started to work with an advisor on a complicated situation and you want to come back in, it's okay to ask to see that same advisor. We do make notes. There are notes in students' files. Advisors have access to that. But if you are really involved in something, and I'm saying something out of the ordinary, I'm not saying, come in for a travel signature. That anybody can do. You have a, specific question about applying for a benefit like curricular practical training or optional practical training. You're going to get the same advice from all of us. But if you are involved in something that has layers, try to see the same person.
Okay. I'm assuming that that works a little bit similarly to the way it does in career stuff, where we try to establish kind of a best practice and something consistent across the board. So it's not like, oh, if you go to this person, you're going to get the really good advice, but this other person, you know, maybe it's not so good. I'm assuming that's similar to the way things work at CIS.
Absolutely. It's funny. I sometimes refer to myself as the bad cop, and some of the other advisors in the office will be the good cops. Students come to me sometimes not so happy because they think they're going to get a no, whereas they think other advisors will give them a yes. That's not true. I might, in my communication style, I might be a little more blunt than other advisors, but that's my legal training, Dan. I that's how I learned, and that's how I give out the information. But you're right. Advisor shopping doesn't work. Basically, the rules are the same. We all know the rules. They should be getting the same advice from all of us.
Yeah, that's right. All right. What about other ways that students can use your website to learn? I believe this is number six.
Yeah, I mean, we really try to encourage students if they have a question to do a little of the legwork themselves. I guess in today's day and age, it's more the finger work, right? You're tapping on a keyboard as opposed to, like in my day, having to go to the library. Look at our website. There's a lot of information on there. We've even, been told by people who design websites, oh, there's too much information on there, but it's all necessary. I mean, if we could tell you how to apply for optional practical training in a tweet, we would, but we can't. Lots of information that's necessary to know, lots of steps involved. But really, if students have a question about something, my advice would be that they go to the Center for International Services website. The immigration tab at the top has several different categories: employment, travel, maintaining status, taking a leave of absence, inviting dependents, all kinds of things like that. There's information about Social Security numbers and individual taxpayer identification numbers. A lot of our presentations have been posted under the tab about, and presentations are under there. So there's a plethora of information there. When students come in and ask a question, I've been known to turn to my computer and say, oh, let's look that up. Oh, see, here, Center for International Services, immigration. Oh, curricular practical training. How do I apply? It's there.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I mean, I know that there are so many websites out there and there are so many approaches. So it's nice to know that there's kind of a centralized place where people can look for this.
It's funny to me when students walk in and they'll say, well, the Center for International Services at the University of some other state has this information. And I'm like, okay, the Center for International Services at Syracuse University has that same information. I don't know. I haven't found an explanation for why that happens. Maybe because when they Google a topic, that other university's website comes up first. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing it has something to do with the algorithms behind it, but they know a lot more about that than I do. So I will leave it to that. Advice, look at our website first.
Got it. When people are emailing your office, are there things that are helpful for them to include?
It's always best, and I think this is not only at our office, I think it's at all offices, include your SUID number in an email. For us, it's particularly important because you might not think so, but there are a lot of Bin Chens, Muhammad Ali's, and Sudeep Khan's. Sometimes a student will send an email with just their name. We put the name into the system and, oh, there are five of them. Well, then we have to figure out, well, which one is this? We had a set of twins here whose names had one letter difference.
Oh, yeah.
Their names were exactly the same except for one letter. And they were twins, so they had the same birth date. Both boys are males, so it was very hard to figure out which one we were working with. Sometimes you had to have a keen eye to that one letter difference, but including the SUID number is always helpful.
Oh, that's complicated. Okay. But it's nice to know that there's something simple that they can do to just make sure that the information is there.
Mm-hmm.
When people meet you, I believe we're on number four now. What should people bring if they meet you or another person in your office in person?
If students have questions about their immigration documents, it's always a good idea to bring them with them. I mean, their passport. Their passport will have their visa in it. But sometimes they've gotten a new passport. So the visa is in the old passport, and then they have a new passport. We don't always know that. So bring those two passports. Bring your latest I-20. Bring your I-94 arrival record printed out from the Immigration Services website. We do collect documents from students when they arrive. We do that in a way to check to be sure they're admitted to the U.S. and the correct immigration status. But our students are travelers, not so much over the last couple of years because of the pandemic and travel restrictions, but our students travel. They leave and come back all the time. Mm-hmm. And, we don't always have the latest documents. So if they're coming in with questions about that, it's very good to always bring the documents with them.
Okay, great. Now, this happens a lot in offices that, or in sort of encounters that I have with students, but is it profitable for students to ask their friends for advice? And, kind of, if not, why not? How should that work for students?
Advice that we give to people is specific to that person. Immigration does have general rules, and the general rules apply to people, but everyone's situation is not always exactly the same. And this is particularly true with students who rely on the advice of people who've come before them. Things change, right? I mean, degree programs change. So what your friend did in their degree program may not be what you can do in your degree program. You might have to do more. You might have to do less. I can't say that immigration rules change that much. I mean, the rules that we're working with are the rules we've been working with for decades. But interpretations do change. These immigration rules were written just when online learning was created. There are no provisions in these immigration rules for remote work. They're stuff that we just have had to figure out kind of on an individual and in specific situational circumstances. So the short of that is, sure, talk to your friends. But if it's a crucial matter, I think you want to seek the advice of our office. Your friend's situation might be just a little different than yours, and that might make a big difference immigration-wise. Sure, talk to your friends. But if it's an important matter, I wouldn't rely on the advice of your friends. I think you should come to the source. So please, come to the Center for International Services, email us, call us, walk in.
All those things.
All those things. Any of those things.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Number two, we're actually getting close to the end of our list here. What do you have for our penultimate tip?
I think with all of us who have lived through the pandemic, particularly, we've kind of come to think that rules are relaxed, that, you know, deadlines don't matter. There's a way around things. Oh, it's not that important. We're having a difficult time right now, you know, getting students to realize that, yes, there are rules. And yes, deadlines matter. And if you are supposed to do something by a certain date, you have to do it by that date. And we may not be able to fix it. So I think the synopsis of that is actions and inactions have consequences. So our advice about that is come and talk to us before you do something you're not supposed to do. Or come and talk to us before you don't do something you're supposed to do. It's much easier for us to give advice than it is for us to fix things.
Which I'm sure is also a bit slower, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, very true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So what is your final or maybe most important tip that you have for everybody listening today?
Well, it's an old-fashioned one. And that is that I would ask any student that gets an email from international@syr.edu, I would ask them to please read it. You know, I referenced before that it's impossible for us to explain how to do some things in a, you know, 40 character text or in a TikTok. And if I could do it in a TikTok, I would. I like to sing and dance. But we cannot, you know, we cannot explain a whole lot of immigration information by social media manners. So our way of communicating with students is through email. We promise we do not bombard you with a lot of emails. If we're sending you an email, it's important. So if you get an email from international@syr.edu, please read it. Don't just delete it.
Read it, don't delete it.
Right, exactly.
And it even rhymes.
It does.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mary. I think that this is a really important podcast. I think that there are always a lot of questions. People often ask me questions about immigration, and I tell people go straight to CIS. I'm not an immigration attorney, though I know the basic outline of things. I would be very concerned about getting things wrong, and therefore I don't like to give advice at all, really, to people. And so obviously our office and CIS have worked together now for many years. And I believe that'll continue because this is just such an important topic and it so strongly relates to the world of careers. So thank you very much, Mary Itzior, for speaking today.
You're very welcome, Dan. And, you know, just to kind of close it out, I always tell students that the beginning of their careers here, our international students are important to Syracuse University. They're a big number here. And, you know, at the beginning, we can say, we know they had other choices. We're glad that they chose us. Mm-hmm. And as they make their way through, we think they should use us. We're here. We're resources.
Yeah, that's very important. It's very important for students to know that. Well, thank you very much. This has been Syracuse University GradCast. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.